Clear audio, crisp video, and zero lag. That's the goal of every Sunday morning streaming, right? And we're taking the guesswork out of church tech with field-tested solutions and expert insights to level up your streaming. You're listening to the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 512, and my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
See, I didn't confuse you there. I didn't throw a curveball.
Nothing. No, you didn't. That was good. All right. We're moving ahead.
We're getting better after 12 or 13 years or so of doing this. All right. Today, I thought, since we're getting close to Easter, now this is, today is, what is today? March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I don't have any green on, do I? And we've got a big announcement, kind of a big announcement to make for those who are StreamingChurch.tv customers. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But because as of the recording of this podcast, Easter is only about 19 days away. Can you believe that?
All right. It's going to sneak in early this year because it's the beginning 5th. Of next month.
April 5th. Yeah. Can you believe we're already in March?
I know.
I mean, I think it's pretty crazy. But we're going to be like 100 degrees here in Tucson tomorrow. And I'm supposed to go wheeling Saturday. It's supposed to be like 101, 102. I don't think I'm going to do that, but you never know.
I'm kind of going to be in Phoenix, and it's supposed to be, well, the rumors, which is not confirmed by the my weather thing, 107. So
yeah, Phoenix is always about 5 degrees.
Outside in the sun the whole time.
Yeah, 5 degrees warmer is usually Phoenix. And yeah, you're going to be outside. I will have a canvas top over me, but we won't be moving very fast, and somebody's going to get stuck or break down. Hopefully not me. And so we'll be sitting out there in the desert. All right. So enough of our chit-chat here. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some things here that everybody needs to know. We've entitled this. We actually have a title for this, which will probably change. But the title is Stop Streaming Blind. And we're going to talk about some proactive monitoring of your stream versus reactive monitoring or troubleshooting. So as I said, April 5th is coming up. That's Easter. And so Easter is only a few weeks away, and you've got a great opportunity to reach more people. It's kind of your digital front door if you do streaming video, and you should. So it's a great opportunity. Even though people may or may not show up at your facility, they might pop in to watch the stream because, after all, it is Easter. And the problem that we have found over many, many years of doing this, because we are StreamingChurch.tv, that's our company. Podcast is Church Solutions Podcast, but StreamingChurch.tv is us. Most churches find out their stream is failing when it's buffering and when somebody tells them it's buffering if they have live chat, right?
Yep, that's usually when people find out.
So the goal here is we want to encourage people to moving from praying that it works to knowing that it works from the very first beginning of your stream, the very first note of maybe the worship set, whatever that might be, right?
Yeah, and we've at Streaming Church has added some new things that we'll be talking about here that will let you be more proactive. So. Yeah.
But in case you're not a customer of StreamingChurch.tv, you can still get a lot out of this podcast because we're going to talk about streaming video. All right, so let's talk about under the hood, so to speak. I was under the hood of my Jeep this weekend, getting ready, messing my hands up, scratching my hands up, bruising my hands up, losing blood, getting frustrated because I couldn't reach something under the hood. And so let's talk about under the hood when it comes to streaming video. So there's this thing that if people do it, and many don't, but there's this thing called the speed test myth. And that is like, we'll just do a speed test if you're lucky. Do a speed test once. at the beginning of the service, and then you're good.
Yeah. Actually, there's several speed test myths. So we'll go into one, some that are not on your notes, but the one that we've been dealing with a lot of times is the one of the most popular speed tests out there is you go to a website and you run your speed test, right? Which is speedtest.net is probably the most popular one. And yeah. It, and I'm not sure how many of the others do. I know some of those that we recommend don't do this, but the first thing it does is we're going to go find the closest server to you. And so we can run a speed test. And this is why all the cable companies and the internet providers love speedtest.net, because it's going to run a speed test at the shortest distance from you to a server that they can bounce their you can do your download from. So it does a little, it actually downloads some files in the background and says, oh, how long did that take? Oh, at that, that size file at that speed, then you're doing really good. So that's the first myth, not in our notes, that speed test is going to, if you're using speedtest.net, it's going to use the shortest distance to you. And if they could be in your building and run a speed test in your building, they'd probably do it, but yeah. They'll find someplace just a few miles from where you are and run the speed test.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we have a way to get around that to get a more accurate test, don't we?
We do. We have actually pointed our speed.streamingchurch.tv to one of the tests that we kind of picked out of the litter of tests there, and you can choose your server location. So a lot of the headquarters of our stuff is towards the East Coast. So you can choose a server that's over there, or you can choose a server wherever you feel, but one that's probably not right in your own neighborhood is going to be the best thing.
Yeah. So just go to speed.streamingchurch.tv. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
Okay. I always get these mixed up. I always want to do that. All right. So one time is not a great idea to do that. You should probably do it, especially if you've got some potential issues or if you've had some feedback in the past. We would encourage you to do obviously a speed test before you stream and one during your stream, just to make sure your upload speed is looking healthy, and you want it to be stable. So I've had customers, and by the way, I'll ring this bell again. We do Sunday support, live Sunday support. And so what I've found over the years is that sometimes somebody will do a speed test and it looks pretty good. And then you do another one and it's not good. Yeah. And so it kind of goes up and down, and that means your internet's not very stable.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of interesting. I just in my home office here switched over to fiber from cable. And I think they all do this. I had to have a guy come to the house. And I think when you get cable and all that, so they come to the house and they get everything all set up. And then they go, okay, let's run a speed test. And you run the speed test. And they go, oh, yeah, I'm getting the package I'm paying for. And a lot of people go, oh, this is good. And then they go away. And this is kind of ties into your point. And they don't realize that rate is going to change depending on a bunch of external factors and some internal factors. So, yes, you want to run. You don't. And so a lot of people go, well, yes, I got 50 meg upload because the guy came and installed it. I'm paying for 50 meg. We ran a test a year and a half ago, and it was 50 meg. So I know I have 50 meg. So and many a time we've got on the line with customers and say, I know you got 50 meg upload, but humor me, let's run a test. And they're like, wow, it's only showing 4. What's going on? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, it can be frustrating, but if you can get in the habit of doing this, if you can train your volunteers, or if you're a volunteer yourself listening to this, or whoever you might be that's in charge of your streaming video, get in the habit of doing some stuff, doing a speed test, and you will find that sometimes you might be surprised, and that sometimes is the key to some of the potential problems we have.
Yeah, and that people experience. Just imagine that it's Sunday morning and I've got 500 new people coming and joining my Wi-Fi, you know, yep. But on Thursday it was great. You know, I had 50 meg upload. So yeah, that's another thing. And the other gotcha here, I don't know if it's in your notes or not, is people go, oh, I'm editing this video. I need to get this video uploaded and stored. So they, you know, I'm going to do this during the service while I'm here, you know? And so they're uploading their 5 gig file while you're trying to send your stream out. And that's when the people go, I pay for 50. I know I got 50. It's got to be your problem. You know, the thing's buffering. And they do the test and they're like, I only got 4. What's going on? So yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, somebody's in the other room uploading a 5 gig file.
I was paying attention to what you were saying. I was kind of pulling a mic or multitasking, but I was checking my Xfinity. So I have Xfinity in my office and I can do a speed test using Xfinity and it tells me, you know, it tells me that, what's it telling me? It tells me I'm getting 118% of my plan speed. So 118%, my download plan speed is 800 megabytes per second, but my actual download is 944.9, according to Xfinity. It's not telling me here the upload, but as you know, and most of our people know, what's really important when it comes to streaming video is your upload speed, as you were just inferring. And so that stuff can have an impact. All right, shall we move on to the next point here when it comes to looking at your stream?
Sure.
So video bitrate, well, we talked about that. Drop frames. So if you are having some issues, most live encoders have the ability to show you your frames that might be dropping. And so if the number isn't zero, your viewers are probably seeing some kind of a slideshow where the thing isn't really streaming right. And so you need to take a look at your drop frames. What would drop frames tell you again, Stephen?
Drop frames means I'm unable to send out all the frames that would, you know, based on my available bandwidth. So I'm going to just drop some of those frames. You know, I can't send 30 frames per second, but I could send 5 at this speed, you know, so it'll start your encoder. That's typically with the software encoders, the indicator is typically drop frames. And I think a lot of the hardware encoders, but I learned something this past weekend that with the Blackmagic web presenter that they rely on cache rather than a drop frame. So that's their indicator of...
They don't take credit cards? Is that what you're saying?
That's yes, they don't take credit cards. They just take cash. No, they have a... Right at the base of their display, and my church is using the web presenter right now, and so I saw that this weekend. Anyway, and it's got big numbers, big number. First one is what you're streaming at, and the other one is your cache. And if you have enough upload from your facility, your cache is going to be between 0 and 10%. And I looked at it this weekend for my past church, just got aware of it. Ours is 3%, so we were doing good. What happens is if your upload can't support what you're sending out, it starts caching stuff. And then your cache will eventually get full. I was talking with a ministry over the weekend, and he sent me a screenshot of their web presenter. Cache was at, he said, we're having buffering. And I went online, saw their stream. I go, yep, it's buffering. You know, we don't have any issues here. And I said, do you have any drop frames on your encoder? And he sent me the screenshot of web presenter, and it said 97% cache, which was telling me that it was not keeping up.
Yeah, and cache, I mean, you see this on your browser as well, but what is cache? It's kind of the storage. I mean, how would you describe cache?
I kind of see it is caching or cacheing, C-A-C-H-E, the data that it can't send right away. So my understanding is it's going to cache some of that, and it's going to fill this cache buffer. And so when it sees, oh, I got a speedy part, oh, I'm going to send more stuff, you know, and it'll deplete the cache that's locally cached on your, at your facility or on your machine. It wants to get rid of that cache. It wants to run the cache at 0%. I mean, if it can, where it's just sending everything out. But if it's, you know, it's up, if it's, you're running that upload, it's going to start caching stuff and send it later. And so, 97%. I don't know what, I would be concerned over, you know, 10 or 15%. So yeah. Means you're.
But it, just for people to understand, digital video, it's not really a continuous stream per se. It's like a, I guess you might say, a fast moving flip book, you know? And so that's kind of how the whole thing with compression, video compression works and keyframe rates and all that stuff. So there's all this stuff that's going really, really fast. And we can get into that later. But so cache can be a problem. And so if you can look and see if you're dropping frames, then that will give you an indication that somewhere along the line, something could be going wrong. It could be your upload speed. It could be your CPU.
Yeah, if you're, and we'll see this with if they're encoding a lot of. Actually, we've kind of left this era when we first started doing this and supporting churches. Everything was right on the edge, right? I mean, streaming was the new thing, and you had a newer computer. You could stream. You know, you could just barely stream. Now it seems like the margin for what you need to be able to do things on the latest equipment is just grown significantly. So, but we do run into people that, oh, I'm using my computer from 15 years ago. It's been working. And they say, it'll be my streaming computer. And then you notice that this thing is struggling to encode and send out the stream. And it's what it's going to do is going to start buffering and start dropping frames. It's going to start having all kinds of trouble if your CPU usage is getting what in the 80 to 90%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It seems like a lot of times with fairly recent equipment, the margin for CPU usage is really, really low unless you're doing something really crazy, which we will get into.
Yeah, you're doing multiple things on the same machine. And by the way, I'm glad that you mentioned that. When we first started this, do it 2008, 2009, but we ran across a date that will live in infamy. It was March 13th, I think it was, 2020.
It's March 15th. It will be an infamy for me.
Well, 15th was the Sunday, but 13th yes. was the day that we realized, oh, this could actually be a pandemic. Actually, it was a couple of days earlier, I think, that they finally announced it, that they COVID-19. That was probably a few days earlier. But yes, March 15th, 2020 is when everybody had problems.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. It lives in infamy with me because on March 13th, I went to a meeting with a bunch of people from a bunch of different companies. And we all sat in the same room and had our all day meeting. There's probably 25 of us. And, you know, it's just another day. We were probably wearing masks. That was the time, but, it
probably
was, yeah.
Not.
And then, but that was the day when everything turned, whenever all the churches said, wow, this is serious. We're not gonna let people come to church this weekend. So,
yeah, absolutely. So anyhow, and that's when everything went crazy. And why did everything go crazy? Because everybody who never had streamed before was all of a sudden trying to stream. And everybody had problems with Facebook, YouTube. We had issues. Other companies had issues because we couldn't. You know, it was just too much of a load. We had to make a lot of changes on our servers to accompany all the traffic.
Yes.
Our CPU was maxed out. So, you know, on your encoders like vMix, if you look at the bottom of vMix, you'll see CPU usage. And what you really want to look at is total CPU. And as you mentioned, Steve, 70, 80, 90%, you're in trouble. OBS has something. Most, even Wirecast and even some of the hardware encoders will, you know, they'll tell you, they'll give you CPU usage. And if you have, I have Windows, your arch enemy. I have Windows, and if you could do what is it? Control Alt Delete. It will give you the task, and you can look at your CPU on your computer directly on your computer and see how it's performing, and if it's getting up there, you could have problems.
Yes. All right. Where are we going next here?
I don't know. Talk about a little bit about frame rate, maybe. This is one of your favorite things. 30 frames per second versus 60 frames per second.
Yeah,
60 sounds better to me. Let's do 60.
Well, I think it's, and we're going to, hopefully we're going to talk about this maybe as well, but a lot of people say, well, if 3 megabits per second on my bit rate is good, then 6 must be really good and 9 or 12 must be excellent. And so it's kind of the same thing. And there is, and I think we talked about this last time in our last podcast, there is a sweet spot for church streaming, and church streaming is different than the other streaming. So frame rate, getting on the frame rate. A lot of encoders will default to 60 frames per second because they're like, oh, we're going to give the highest quality for the most variety of things at 60 frames. And we're going to set the bit rate really high so that we get, you know, some really good quality. And what we found is that if you're running a church service, you're typically not switching your panning your camera as fast as the guy's running in for the layup is, or the guy running out to catch a pass or a soccer game or whatever.
Race cars.
So, yeah. So where you would need 60 frames per second, if you have high action that you're streaming, you want 60 frames per second. If you're not streaming, if you're streaming a pretty much still shot of somebody talking or a worship band or whatever, 30 frames per second is plenty. You will not notice any difference in setting it from in quality and going to 60 frames per second with a church service. So stick it at 30 frames per second. What that does is that reduces the load on your encoder by just about 50%. It doesn't have to do, it only has to do half as much work to keep up. So set things at 30 frames per second and you will be doing everyone a favor.
We should start including you.
Go ahead.
We should do a. Go ahead.
I would say we should do a blind. Speaking of streaming blind, we should do a blind test with some people, and let them choose which one is the 30 frames per second service and which one is the 60 frame per second service.
It's kind of like the Pepsi Challenge, right? Where they had
The Pepsi Challenge.
They blindfolded somebody and they had a Pepsi can in front of them as well as a Coca-Cola can.
Yes.
That was, I remember this. All right. Let's see. Where are we going here? These things are really important. You got Easter coming up. A lot of people are going to be watching online. So you need to really make sure you're aware of all this, or your people are aware of all this. Where do you want to go next here, Jackson?
Let's talk about some of the new stuff that we have introduced.
Yes.
So one, we introduced two weeks ago, on your admin control panel for streamingchurch.tv. Now, while you are streaming, you can go view your stream. It's always been there. You've always been able to view your stream and interact and do whatever you wanted to do. But now we have added below the stream all the details of your video encoding, your video stream you're sending, and your audio stream. And this will set a little alerts if you're out of the recommended sweet spot. So it will go through and say, oh, you're streaming at 6 megabits per second. That is actually not optimal for a church streaming. And you may have people on phones and other devices that can't view the stream very well. And the quality is going to degrade at that level. And a lot of times people go, well, that's the higher quality level. Yes, that's the holy quality. You run out of capability for people to view on all their different devices and stuff and across their different networks.
We could do transcoding. I mean, YouTube, Facebook, they do transcoding, so you can send them a bunch of crazy stuff, high bit rates and all that stuff, and they'll dumb it down. And they'll we do have ABR, adaptive bit rate, so if people wanted to do something if they were streaming to a large screen TV, you know, and you needed a higher bit rate, maybe we could set you up with ABR, adaptive bit rate, where you would send multiple streams to us, a high quality, a medium quality, a lower quality stream. And we can set all that up on the back end of things with our servers. So that's an answer. If you really are determined you want to stream at a super high bit rate, hopefully you have a good reason for doing that. Does that sound harsh for me to say that?
No. And then, and most of the services will, I know that if you go, I'm not sure if they reject your stream, if it's because the sweet spot for Facebook and YouTube is 720p.
Right.
And they will downgrade your stream. I don't know if they won't accept the stream. If they say, if it comes back and says, oh, that's too high of a resolution. But their sweet spot is 720p and a certain bit rate. So they understand that who their audience is, and they want to have the best experience for everybody there. Yeah. So,
and by the way, getting back to the sweet spot that you've talked about, you talked about it last week as well. Again, churches are different, as what you're saying. So, getting back to your analogy, you don't have to have a high frame rate. People aren't playing basketball usually in the sanctuary. There may be some services where people are running up and down the aisles, but most of the time it's pretty stable. That's what we're talking about when we say there's a difference between streaming your church services and streaming another event, bicycle race or whatever. So that I just want to clarify that. So that's why we're saying you don't need to stream at 7 or 8 megabytes per second. I just don't have to do that usually.
Yeah. You're actually doing yourself a disservice because you're gonna be alienating some of your audience that won't, and they won't be able to, a lot of things. We also want to refer, have people go and view what people are watching, what device they're watching the stream on. And that's very eye-opening to a lot of people as well.
Yeah. We have that at streamingchurch.tv. We have that feature where you can see, what devices your audiences are using, the percentage of them, those kind of things. And there's probably some other companies that do that as well. So you really need to be aware. We're running out of time here, but you really need to be aware of your encoding, I know it sounds overwhelming for some people, but once you start to do it and go over some of these things we just talked about, and we'll put this on a blog too. You can just go to blog.streamingchurch.tv and we'll talk about this. We'll put it on a blog so people can have a little bit better idea of stuff I'm writing. But you just need to be aware. There's a saying, you need to be present. You need to be mindful. I like to practice mindfulness as much as I can. So be mindful of your streaming. So that means, watching it, seeing how it's doing. Don't just set it and forget it and walk away. That's what we're getting at here. And of course, we've talked about chat and responding to your chat and all that stuff. So anyhow, I think anything else before we go away here?
That should be it. We're for another thing we're doing. We're with our customers, with the Streaming Church Ministries, is we are being proactive in monitoring their streams, and we're going to be sending an email with some saying, hey, this is not ideal. Here's what we recommend for the sweet spot. And so some of your list, if you're a Streaming Church person, you may get a friendly email on how to tune your stream. And it's really just about tuning your stream. A lot of people like to say, just turn it up and let it rip, crank it up and let it rip, because we want the best for everybody. And they're not realizing that it's not going to be the best for everybody. So there is a sweet spot, and you do need to tune it. And so we're going to be monitoring the streams and sending just notices to people saying, hey, this is not ideal. This is
If you're streaming at a high bit rate, you may get an email.
Yeah.
But it will be a nice email. It'll be a friendly email.
It will be a friendly reminder saying, hey, if you're having problems streaming, this might be the why. So, you got to do is make some changes. You won't. Again, we should do this blind test. No one's going to notice from a church service. If there were a bicycle race or something going on, you may notice. But for church service, all you're going to do is add some margin where everybody's going to be able to enjoy the experience.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, so look, and as always, we are available to help you. So reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. That's our company. You can chat with us live during business hours. We're out here in Arizona, so there may be a time difference, but you can still leave us a message. Just go to streamingchurch.tv, and we'd be happy to try to help adjust your stream, help it so that everybody's happy, everything works right, there's no buffering, there's no freezing frames, those kind of things. And that's what we do. We're here to help churches. We want you to have a good experience, especially as Easter's coming up, as we keep saying here. All right, good. All right, are we done here? All righty. All right, I already told you how to get a hold of us, but if you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions Podcast, we would encourage you to do that. Never miss a podcast and share it with a friend. And again, we are here to help you. So on behalf of Steve Lacy here, my name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we will catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.